righteousness to the Father. Master, we are grateful and thankful unto thee, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your help unto us in the morning service, Lord, from the Sunday school to the main service. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the great blessings that you bless us with, Father. Thank you for deliverances. Thank you for your help. Thank you for answers to prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what your word has accomplished in our lives, Father. We say, blessed be thy name, Lord. Take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. We know according to your word that your word will not return unto thee void. Master, it will accomplish the very purpose why you have sent it, Lord. The Bible says that you sent your word, and your word healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for not allowing the enemy to have his way in our lives, Father. Thank you for what your word has done in our lives, Father. Thank you that we can, Master, rejoice, O living God, Master, of the great work that you did for us to deliver us from the hand of the wicked ones, the enemy. Thank you, righteous and our Father. Lord Jesus, we pray for as many as are still looking unto thee for deliverances. Jehovah God, come on the scene, Lord. Deliver your people, Heavenly Father. There is power in the blood. There is power in your word. There is power, O living God, mastered in the spoken word. O living God, thou the righteous Father, thou the very word, O living God. You say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lord Jesus, once again, may your true word set your people free, Father. Lord Jesus, deliver, O God. Fill with the Holy Ghost and refill with the Holy Ghost. Heal the sick and the afflicted, Father. Take the saints of God to higher heights, Lord. Bless us as we open your word once again, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. For in Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this chorus. There is power. Hallelujah, there is power. Oh, power in the blood. Oh, yes, there is power. Wonder-working power. Oh, power in the blood. Do we know it? Do we know it? Let's sing it now, cheerfully. Or is there no power in the blood? You think the blood is powerless? If you think the blood is powerful, why don't you sing? Oh, power in the blood. Oh, yes, there is power. Oh, the walking power. Oh, power in the blood. Two more times. Brethren, there is power in the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will not lose its power until the righteous church, ransomed church of God, be saved to see no more. Praise the Lord. Sorry for keeping you standing. Let's take our Bible and read from the book of Saint Luke as we continue in our sermon. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 to 24. Luke 15 from 11 to 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the hogs that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, it's good to come to ourselves. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and we say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoe on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. So we started this sermon last Sunday, I suppose. The sermon, Brother Brown titled The Prodigal. Because you can say the prodigal son. So, Brother Brown said it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that gave this parable. When the Pharisees were complaining about him eating and inviting and eating sinners. So he gave this parable to them to let them know that the Father is willing that sinners should repent. And he told the parable about a lost sheep, how that a man who has 100 sheep, if one of them is missing, he will leave 99 and go searching for that one that is lost. And when he finds the one that is lost, what does he do? He comes back rejoicing and tells people that, come and rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ did not say go. And we are the sheep of his what? Pasture. Praise the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ also gave the parable about a woman that lost a coin that they normally put in those days, which stands for their virtue. And this virtue is lost. Commit adultery or whatever. So when this woman, when she loses this coin, the Lord Jesus Christ says, she takes it home and has looked for this coin. When she does it, with me, I find my coin that was lost. And Lord Jesus So that is the one that Brother Bram used for this sermon. I don't want to go back to, because of our time, what we
learned last Sunday, because I talk about the testimony of Captain Afara. Brabra started on this sermon proper. Let me try to started with something. The younger of this man's children. Let's hear the prophet. And Brabra said he's giving it in a drama form so that the young ones will also get something out of it. Paragraph 22 of the same sermon, Prodigal, that he preached in 1958. Shun every appearance of evil. Stay off of enemies' ground. May God be gracious unto us. The Bible says that don't be unequally yoked with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship? Let's read that scripture. It is not say the Lord. It's not don't say any man. Let's go. I think it's Corinthians chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken. Is it second or first? I think it's Second Corinthians chapter 6. Okay. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What did Brother say? If they are not saved, do what? Stay away from them. Don't be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship at righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion at light with darkness? And what concord at Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idol? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. Be ye separate, saith who? Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not unclean things, and I will receive you. Praise the Lord. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughter, saith who? The Almighty. What else do we need? What else do we need to separate from the unbelievers? Oh, sometimes when we say some things, we know you don't like it. Yeah. We feel it. We know sometimes when we say something, you don't like it. But that is the word of the Lord. If they are not saved, stay away from them. I didn't say, but it's a quote. Okay. Brother Brown said, okay, let's, because of this time, may God be gracious. Let's continue. Brother Brown said, it is not how close to sin you are and you don't see, but how you get away from it is there. Don't see how close you can get to sin. See how far you can stay away from sin. Get way away from it. Just altogether shun it off. It's a shame that our American people here wallow and doing the things. Praise the Lord. Then Brother Brown talk about parents' delinquency. Because we have been talking about young ones the delinquents of the young ones, but there is delinquents of the parents also. Praise the Lord. Brother Abraham said, when we remove the old fashioned altar prayer place and replace it with carts, then what do you want those children to become? If the father is not prayerful, the mother is not prayerful, the children never saw you prayed. Just normal way of life. We are Christians. We are Christians and you don't pray. A prayerless Christian is what? A powerless Christian. How will the children take the habit of praying? How will the children take the habit of thinking of the Lord? In many homes, apart from cats, there are televisions. They train their children like that, with televisions. How do you want those children to grow up? How do you want them to know the Lord? Instead of, Brabham taught our sisters that they should teach their children what? Bible stories. But instead of that, a child left on his own. Oh, mercy. Many children left their children on their home. These children, God gave them to us to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Tell them we have to guide them to what is right and what is wrong, and the way to love the Lord and serve the Lord. But when the parent is not doing that, how will the children grow up to know how to serve and love the Lord? That is the problem. Then Brother Abraham said, he said, what about all these young girls in America? You see them with cloth, or just tied with cloth in the, just little cloth, and they lie down in the beach. They said they are taking sun tanning. They want to be dark. Because white people, see, human being is not, they are not satisfied with what the way God made them. Black people, we want to be yellow. White people, you want to be dark. Because white people believe that to be dark and not to be pure white, but to be a little bit maybe brown or whatever, is beautiful. The black says that when you are light in complexion, that is beautiful. That is why people, some people will go and bleach. So these people, they go and lie in the beach. They want to take suntan so that their skin will be dark a little. But Abraham said, when he asked one of them, that why do you do this? He said, I want to take suntan. I want to be. But Abraham said, I have guests. He said, if any one of them will ever do that, he said, I will give them such a beating. That's what it means. I will beat them such a beating that the beating will put tar on their body. Some people don't believe in beating children. Spare the rod, you spoil the child. That's the truth. That is Bible. It's not psychology. When we spare the rod, we spoil our children. That is how Brabham said, it's not juvenile delinquency, but parent delinquency. God gave us the children to bring them in the admonition of the Lord, fear and the admonition of the Lord. When a child doesn't fear God, there is no restraint. He comes to the house of God as if he's going to school. He can do anything in the house. They can tear paper and throw it anywhere in the church. You don't train them that this is church. This is not your school. It will take the deacon to start with teaching them. But we are supposed to teach them those things at home. When you come to church, bow down your head when the minister is praying. We are supposed to teach them those things at home. Not to come to church and start misbehaving in the church. We are to teach them those things. May God help us. So, that's how parent delinquency comes. Because if the parent himself doesn't know how to serve the Lord right, how would the child know? So this boy, let's continue with the boy. This boy, He got up, mixed up with the wrong company. And from there, he started misbehaving in the house. The boys will tell him, all that you do is just go to church every day. Every Sunday, go to church. Wednesday, go to church. Every morning and evening, you even stay in the church. How do you enjoy your life? That's the way they tell them. How do you enjoy your life? Every day, church. In your house, God said, there is no television. How do you enjoy your life? You don't know anything. You are just following your parents, move to church. What will somebody do? So you want me to follow you, Satan? So the friends talking to him put words in him, and because of that, this boy started growing wings. Rabban said, one day he came to the house and he was sassing his father and his mother because of what he has learned from his friends. Evil communication corrupts good manner. When you move with them, when you move with them and they school you, you behave wrong. There's no doubt about that. So this boy, he came home one day. Barbara said he was acting funny. He sassed his father, sassed his mother. And he told his father, said, Daddy, see, I'm tired of this house. I'm tired of every day going to church, every day doing this. I want to go to the town and live at boys' live. So divide my portion. At least I have inheritance. Divide my portion and let me have my portion and let me get out. Then the brother said, the father getting hold, being an old man, getting hold, and the mother also getting hold. The father tried to, boy, that is all we know to do. This is what I have. I love you. Your mother also loves you. I want you to be a good boy. I want you know what I have is what you are supposed to take and live your life with. The father tried to convince him to talk to him. He will not listen. Brabran said, Satan has gotten a hold of him. Then Brabran said, don't start the first wrong thing. Don't start the first wrong dream. God, that is what Satan wants you to start. He said if you start, he will take you up from then. Brother Brown said, everybody knows what is wrong. But there is a power on the people. The influence of the power of darkness on the people that made them to do this wrong. Let's go to paragraph 37. You will see Brother Brown said it. Paragraph 37. Paragraph 37. Okay. Let's. And he joined himself with a citizen. Okay, let's jump a little. That's the way the devil will do. He will get you to smoke the first cigarette, telling you there is no harm in it. And after a while, you are a cigarette fiend. As a cigarette devil, he will tell you there is no harm in taking a sociable drink. I've stood by them before they went to gallows, and stood by them before they were electrocuted. And I never intended, they say, to be a gambler. I never intended when I was playing cards to be a gambler. I never intended to be a drunk. When I stole out of a filling station, I didn't intend to be a thief. But only thing the devil wants you to do is to start. And he will take you on. Get over on his grand one time and watch him. You know what it means to do wrong. But there is an influence of the power of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, that leads you trapped into those things. Praise the Lord. That is it. There is an influence from the power of darkness that make people to do what they do. But there is a power of God that can break down those evil power. Praise ye the Lord. May I give you this testimony again this evening, because the time is going. I told you when I came from Deeper Life to this local assembly. By this time, I told you that time I was not saved when Satan moved on me. This time, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen attentively, young ones. I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that to be true. And I came to this church. I found that the things that I was hearing were the truth. I couldn't deny that. So I came to my uncle's place to stay with my uncle. Then my uncle had a house help. Then this house help, we go to farm and do things together. It got to a point, there was an evil spirit came on me also. He said, "Tell this girl you love her." And that was what he said. "Tell her you love her. You will explain to her later." How will this be? How will I? It was as if I was on a spell. The thing was so powerful. I've never felt like that before. And up to today, I've never felt that evil spirit. Praise ye the Lord. So tell her you love her. It was as if that spirit will speak it out of my mouth. But we thank God. One thing I am grateful to God today is this. There is no how powerful Satan is. That we, as I'm standing here, that we just take my hand and slap Brother Joseph. Satan can never do it. That I will take my hand, as I'm standing here and use it to slap Brother Joseph where he is. It's not possible. But how does it work? He will first tell me that, "See that Joseph, he doesn't like you. Even what you are saying, he doesn't believe. See, hear what he did yesterday, day before yesterday. He did this, he did that. You see, he's not a good person." So the best thing to show you that you are a man, you just slap him. To show him that you are a man, slap him. Give him first attack. That's what he does. Then I will have to believe that and be under that influence and walk myself to him and raise my hand and slap him. Satan cannot take a man to and just carry you and do evil. You have to submit yourself to him. There is no doubt about that. You are the one that submitted yourself for the devil to use. Praise ye the Lord. So, it was as if he would say it to me that, "Tell her you love her, you will be telling her later." He said, "I've given my life to the Lord. How will I do that?" I was under that spell. I didn't know what to do. I fasted and prayed. There's no doubt about that. I fasted and prayed about it. No deliverance. Yes. There was no deliverance this time around. No, the other time I told you I fasted and prayed, God delivered me straight away. But this one I fasted and prayed, no deliverance. I was thinking of what should I do? Because I won't do that. I don't want to do that. Let me use that. I don't want to do that. How will I do that in this place? So one day, it was after morning service in this local assembly. While we were in Ososami, I was thinking, still ruminating, what is the way out? What is the solution? I went out from the house. I went to the staircase. I think I went to the staircase. I sat down, still thinking of the way out, when something just came and said, "Anointing that breaks the yoke." It was as if that was released to me. Anointing that breaks the yoke. Oh, I pick. Say, "Yes, anointing that breaks the yoke." He said, "When people are anointed, what does the oil symbolize?" He said, "The oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit." Yes, I said that is true. And that Holy Spirit will break every yoke of the devil. I said that is true. Said, therefore, I will go for anointing of oil this evening in the sun in during evening service. So that evening I wrote for anointing of oil. And I was prayed for. I told you, like I said, Daddy prayed for me. I was prayed for as if I was sick. And do you know that was my deliverance? That was my deliverance. And do you know also, I didn't know Satan was preparing ground. He got not far long. I said I was living with my uncle. My uncle and his wife and his whole family traveled away from Ibadan. So I think it was Calabar. I was left in the house with that lady. If God has not delivered me, then that was a grant for that was the time for Satan to accomplish his evil in my life. But God, because I've been delivered, I stayed in the same house, nothing happened. So that is to tell you that there is evil power truly. There is a power of darkness that come on people to do evil, but there is power in the blood to deliver. So you see, with all this, nobody can tell me today that God doesn't answer prayers. I have experiences of God answered prayers. This happened in this local assembly. It happened in this local assembly. So Satan is the one that cage people. You know what? His time is going. And one problem with human beings is this. When they are caged in sin, the way out, humble yourself, expose the devil, it becomes difficult. The only way to be delivered when you are caged in sin is to expose that devil. Destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. But it becomes a problem for people. To confess their sins becomes a problem. Last Friday, Pastor was talking about a lady in a church. I think it was a Methodist church that was in Jefferson Field. But Abraham said the pastor just invited him to go to that, to come to that church. He said they will not, because he's been under tension of people praying for the sick. He said, we'll not ask you to pray for the sick. Just come and preach to us. He said, but when Abraham got there, I said, but there is a lady that we have here. She was our Sunday school teacher. Maybe she said Sunday school teacher. But she has been having some mental problem. So we just want you to just pray for her and that's the truth. So the brother got there and prayed for this girl, I mean this lady. But she was not delivered. She also came to Brother Abraham later. Brother Abraham still prayed for her. No deliverance. Then Brother Abraham traveled. Then she kept disturbing Sister Mida. That anytime Brother Abraham is around, please just make an appointment with me and him so that we can go into private interview. Maybe God will reveal what my problem is. How to cast out these demons. Then one day, Brother Abraham was around. Sister Mida said, should I call her? Brother Abraham said, call her. And she came, and Brother Abraham went into the den room, with her, started discussing. Then the Holy Ghost came down and revealed to Brother Abraham. Brother Abraham said, were you in a car accident? He said, no. Because Brother Abraham saw her in a vehicle that was almost hit by a train. And it was inside that vehicle she committed adultery when her husband was not around. Brother said, this is what you did in this vehicle. He said, you have to go and confess to your husband. Say, eh? Confess, I confess to the Lord. Don't even say it. He will destroy my family. He will do this. He will do that. I will be that. Said, Brother said, if you don't do that, you can't be delivered. Brabham was going out when Brabham said, then the grace of God came down. He saw her husband also being guilty of the same sin. But it now looked as if this woman knew the girl, the lady that the husband messed up with. He said, call your husband. Your husband also has something similar to confess to you. Praise the Lord. That was how they called the husband and the woman confessed her sin to the husband. And then she asked the husband, what about this lady and this lady? What were you doing together with him? He said, how did you know that? He said, who told you? Where are you coming from? You have been somewhere. He said, where are you coming from? He said, where have you? He said, yes, I've been to Brother Abraham. He said, ah. Oh. He knows that that cannot be a lie. So they both came to Brother Abraham and they confessed and they make it right. That was how the woman was delivered. Praise the Lord. The Baran said, no wonder the pastor is having a hard time in the place. Because the husband was a deacon in the church. This woman was a Sunday school teacher in the church. God be merciful. So the best way, when if you are caged in sin by the devil, remember, he will not let you loose. He doesn't want you to be loosed. The only way to be loosed is to humble yourself and confess your sin. Until it is confessed, you are in his cage. And that, if you don't confess it, it will take you to hell. No doubt about that. That's the truth. Now what today? We are preaching the gospel. We are preaching the gospel. You see, I was telling the children this morning. I said, we need to fear God. We need to fear God. You see, if but Abraham said all these things, and we know these are the truth, which they are the truth, then we should fear God. Well, if we in our denomination cannot do those things, if we cannot do them, we that are here, hearing these things, knowing what the evil, the danger of doing those things, then why will you allow Satan to cage you? Abraham prayed for a man that was getting old. 40 years before, the man stole just what? A wolf or whatever. In Catholic church. When Abraham was praying for him, Abraham said, the only bad thing I see in your life was that. You have to go and confess it for you to get healed. Praise the Lord. So, you see, with that, we should fear God. With these things that we know that are the truth, then a man should be careful how he behaves himself. A woman should be careful how he behaves himself in the house of the Lord. Most especially when you know that you come to a place where you are not hidden. The Holy Ghost sees every one of us. And you will give account. Because you've heard the truth. Nobody here will not say that he has not heard the truth. You've heard the truth. Then some people say that he's a false prophet. Tell me, will the devil tell you your sin to be delivered? Will the devil expose your sin in a way for you to be delivered? The devil will rather cage you in that sin and keep it, make you to keep it secret until he takes you to hell. Nobody comes to Abraham with such things and they are not, their sin is not made known to them. And you say that is not the Spirit of God. Tell somebody else. May God help us. We've got to fear God. Let me not continue to go into things. So, the people are under the power of darkness, the influence of darkness. And Brother Brown taught us that we are being influenced from two sources. Either from our theophany from above or from the pit of hell. And anything contrary to the word of God is what we make people to live wrong. Praise the Lord. So the parents of this boy, they try to convince this boy, but this boy, he will not do what? He will not yield. The mother try her best. The mother, he will not still yield. Then, Brother Brown was talking about May God be gracious. Oh, mercy. The boy got ashamed of the parents and he wanted to leave the house anyhow. Brother Bram said, let me try to read it. Some of us young ones that think that our parents, they are old, they are, they are whole foggy. Mercy. Oh God, help us. Paragraph 25 to 27. Okay. The last part. The Bible says that they will be this way. Paul speaking it. Without natural affection. That is the way it is today. The child rules the home now instead of the father and the mother. They are the one who does the talking. It's a shame without natural affection. I can see the mother part is cheek. Look, young folks, one of these days, it will be the only thing in the world. She is gone. She won't be here. That old dad that you be ashamed of him just because he goes to church and maybe gets happy and shout once in a while. The boyfriend or the girlfriend of yours in the church say, well, look at him. Isn't that awful? And you are just a little bit ashamed of him. There will be a time when you won't be ashamed of him. When he will not be there. May God help us. Then we're about to talk about Mary. One Mary that went to the college. And while she was coming back, with her friend. And this friend saw the mother of Mary waiting for Mary at the rail station. And said, look at that haggy looking woman. Isn't that very ugly? Mary did not talk. Instead of Mary to say, that is my mom. She was ashamed of her mom. And when she came down from the train, the mother went to hug her. She refrained herself. She was ashamed of her mother. Then the one conductor that knew the story grabbed her in the shoulder and said, Mary, what is wrong with you? This woman that you see that is ugly and haggard as you see her, she was not prettier than you when she was young. It was one day when she came down from the house to lay the cloth that the house caught fire and you were in the house. She risked her life to enter the house because nobody would do it. She ran inside the house with a blanket, wet blanket, carry you, wrap you in the blanket, and while she was coming out, the fire got her face. Now you are ashamed of her because she was haggard because of you. That is the way some of us are ashamed of Jesus Christ. We are ashamed to identify with Jesus. We are ashamed to be called SU. We are ashamed to be called SU because we want to belong. When they are talking about Bible, you don't want to partake because you don't want them to know that you are SU because they'll be making jest of you. To hell with that. Anywhere we go as a child of God, we should make our identity known. That is the exact thing that will deliver you from being just taken along with them. Let everybody know what your stand is. Stand your ground. I am a Christian. If to be a Christian is to be an SU, I'm SU. Period. Let them know your stand. And stand for Christ. And God will stand for you when in the time of trouble. If you stand for God, God will stand for you. We've heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood for the Lord and God stood for them. But when we are ashamed to stand for the Lord, he will not be bold to stand for you too. He said, they that will be ashamed of me here on earth, I'll be ashamed of them there in my Father's kingdom. How will he stand for you when you cannot stand for him here and declare your identity that I'm SU? If to believe Jesus Christ is an SU, that is what I am.
If to dress on long dress, to dress old foggy is SU. That is what I am. If it is to dress and not have paint, is to be SU. That is what I am. And if to stand against what is wrong is SU, that's what I am. I want to stand against what is wrong, and everybody to know that this man, he doesn't believe in this. Let them do it and get rich by it. But as for me, I don't believe in it, and I don't need that kind of money. I'd rather be poor than to entangle myself in things that are questionable. Abstain from what? All appearances of evil. But today we want to rub soda with them, as long as we don't do this, we don't do that. Before you know it, a camel that sleep with dog that has lice, if you do what, wake up with lice. May God help us. So the father sold his property and divided the money between the elder and the young one. And the young boy, is now happy. He took the money in his pocket, said, okay, you old folk, I'm going. The mother said, excuse me, can we just pray before you go? He doesn't go well with him. Well, just obey you. Let's just pray. When they were praying, brother said, it was not, those prayers doesn't enter his heart. He is ready on his mind is on where he's going. When he finished prayer, he said, we are trying to show love to him. He said, let me go. He left. The Bible said the parents were looking at him as he was climbing the hill. And when they, after a while, they saw him go, they entered the house, held their hands, and were praying in tears. Their boy, remember, it is their son. Yeah, some people will say that because he has done it, I disown him. Like Pastor used to say, he's carrying your blood. He said, carry your name. Wherever you go, everybody knows that is your son. You just have to pray for him or pray for her, that God will deliver him or her. So the boy went, but Abraham said he could see him in all of his frame. He could see him in places of gambling. Because he has money. Brother said he has plenty of friends. Everybody hailed him. When he gets to his hall of Ephraim, guests move around him. He can dole money out anyhow. He's a big boy. Brother said he was popular. He had so many friends. You know, the devil is wicked. When he gambles for the first time, he will not lose, so he might not lose. For the first time he gambles, he can get money, plenty money. Yeah, he sits like this. He puts money in his pocket. Yeah, that will make him to go the second time. Go the third time. Maybe the second time he will lose. I will win the other time. The third time he will lose. Fourth time he might lose. Maybe the fifth time he might win a little. I will see way more. That is how Satan deceived them. This boy, he gambles, he go to hall of Ephraim, he don't lack money, he did this, he have plenty of friends. But the time came, just to cut the short, long story short, the money finished. Because that is how Satan deceived them. In gambling, in carrying guests, in doing all those things. Bears, and they spend their money riotously. After a while, the money finished, and the Bible said there was famine in the place. The boy had no choice than to go and look for a job. But Abraham said, at this time, his friends deserted him. His guests, girlfriends, they left him. Because there is no money to give to them now. You can't keep them no longer because there is no money. So all of them left. But I said, that is how the devil will deal with you. That is how the devil treats people, rather. Because he's a bad guy. Yes, sir. But brother said, there is a friend that will not leave you. In thick and thin, that friend is always with you. There is no friend like Jesus. Oh, no friend like Jesus. Some people say that, but we don't see him now. He's always with you. Hallelujah. You can, there is all of the Christians here, they value the friendship of Jesus. Look at our hymns. How many hymns talk about Jesus being friends? He said, greater love has no man than this, that a man will love his friends and give his life unto them. He's your friend. He's my friend. And he wants to be your friend. No friend like him. No friend can be close to you, even more closer than your parents. Praise the Lord. Oh my. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, the lily of the valley, in him alone I seek. All I need to cleanse and make me fully yoke. Oh, oh, his sorrow is my comfort. His sorrow is my strength. Say it, test me in every care, Lord, need to know. Oh, hallelujah, he's a lily of the valley, the brighter morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I wish we could have time. We could sing those songs of friendship with Jesus. Friendship with Jesus. Oh, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed speak of me. Oh, Jesus is a friend of mine. Oh, no one ever cares for me like Jesus. Oh, there's no other friend so kind as he. Oh, no one has to take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Praise ye the Lord. There is no friend like Jesus. Oh, glory to God. And the one glorious thing, when this life will be over, he will be there to take us across the sea. Praise ye the Lord. Wonderful. Satan is a bad guy. He wants to use you and dump you in his kingdom in hell. Cage you to hell. But Jesus Christ wants you to be free and to be in his kingdom and enjoy eternity with him. Praise ye the Lord. So this boy, his friend deserted. Give me 5 minutes, please. His friend deserted him. Nothing. Nobody. Oh, nobody could be with him anymore. So he has to look for a job. And the only job he gets is this swine place. Rabbi say that is the worst job for an Hebrew person to get. An Hebrew man to get, to go and feed the swine. And he will even, they give him this lob for him to feed the swine. Because he was so poor and so hungry, he would not even mind taking eating out of the pig food. Oh, but praise the Lord. Brother said one day, the mother was just thinking, told the husband, say, I'm just thinking about this boy. I wonder where he is. And the husband said, well, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Let us pray. And they went on their knees and prayed for him. Rabbi said, this boy, not only that he works in the pig pen, he sleeps there. That is where he stays because he doesn't have home anymore. No place to stay other than this pig pen. Every night it is smell of pig everywhere, smelling everywhere. So Boran said, after the parent prayed for him, the Lord went into action. The angel of the Lord came to him. Praise the Lord. You know he's a son. Oh, praise the Lord. That is one good thing about a child of God. The angel of the Lord came to him and said, and told him, while he was, maybe while he was sleeping, said, why don't you just go back to your parents? And he, that thing clicked in him. He said, okay, it's true. Why don't I go to my parents? Because look, my father, even his servants, they won't be suffering like I'm suffering here. It's my father's servants. They have plenty food to eat. And they have good place to sleep. Look at me here. I'm sleeping with pig. I'm almost like pig myself. You see, Barbara said, how many such people, children of good mothers, children of good fathers, that are in that kind of a place? And I thought, Omonili Olona, toward the elede. Know how you about it? Omonili Olona, toward feed the elede. May God be merciful to us. There is nothing as grace, as good, as wonderful, as being a child of God. Oh, mercy. Because in every situation, God will make a way for you to get over all the trap and to live better than to be living with pigs. So he said, it is true. My father is rich. And with his riches, none of his servants are suffering like this. Then the thought came back to him. Satan must have told him. Then you want to go? Yeah? You that left home, sassing your parents, you that left home with all their money, you that left home and live wrong, you think they will take you back? Lie, lie. Then the angel of the Lord get into thinking, but I remember my mother, how she cares for me, how she loves me. Even when my father corrects me and beats me, and my mother will take me to herself, how we go. Then he said, and I cannot go back to him that and without confessing my sin. Of course, I've sinned against God and against him. I would rather be his servant. Let me just be his servant and deliver myself from this suffering. He made up his mind, decided to go. The Bible says, while he was on far away, the father sought him. It was mother that first saw him. And I said, hey, daddy, here he is coming. The father went and saw him. The father had compassion on him. Because he is tattered. He has emaciated. He doesn't have shoe in his legs. And the Bible said the father ran to meet him and fall on his neck. And said, and rejoiced. He said, come and help me thank the Lord. Oh, this my boy was dead. And he's now what? He's alive. He was lost and he's found. That is the way God's arms has reached out to every sinner that wants to come to him. Oh, praise the Lord. If a godly person will not disown his son who has gone wrong, how will God disown his child who has done wrong? Just come and humble yourself before him. Humble yourself. Expose the devil. And God will take you back into his hands. Let's bow down our heads. Can we quickly sing this song? Maybe the hymn. I think 179. Yes, 179. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. I will just sing the first stanza while you are praying. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Holy for you and for me. Oh, see on the portals is waiting and watching, watching for you. That he has laid down for you if you decide to come home. He's calling you to come to him. Come to confess your sins and your wrong to him. He's ready to take you. He's looking for you. He's calling for you. Come to your Savior. Come to the Lord. He loves you. That is why he died for you on the cross at Calvary, that you can be free and be delivered from the power of the enemy. God is still delivering. I gave you my testimony that God can deliver from the power of Satan. He's still delivering. Come. To raise up your hand for his servants to pray for you. Are you ready to surrender all to him? Raise your hand. Raise your hand very well to the Lord. You are not raising your hand to man. You are not raising your hand to me. You are raising your hand to the Lord. The angel of the Lord is taking account of those that raise their hand. Let every eyes be closed. Raise your hand to him. If you mean it in your heart, raise your hand to him. While our pastor will pray for us.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again this afternoon, this evening. We cannot thank you enough for what you have been to us as we gather this morning. We thank you for a portion of this message that you fed our souls with in the Sunday school. You use it to lay foundation for further blessings that will follow. We thank you for the morning service. We thank you for this afternoon stroke evening service. Our Master and our God, your prophet told us that coming to church is not like going to a picnic ground. It's a sacred ground where we have come to meet our God. Lord Jesus, we are very grateful for this opportunity you are giving unto us. May we not be forgetful hearers. Help us, Heavenly Father, that in whichever way we have seen ourselves, since we have been standing before the mirror of the world, right from Sunday school, morning, through afternoon, through evening, Lord Jesus, help us prayerfully to ask for grace to adjust ourselves. Grant it, Father. Lord, as many as are sick in the body, for our sake you receive stripes upon your body. For your word says you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes we were healed. Master, hands are raised up everywhere, knees everywhere. No man stand before your presence and does he see himself as he is. Our Father, we are praying. We have come to you, O God. You have not come to save the righteous. You have come to call sinners unto repentance. We want to agree, O God, that we were born in sin, shaping iniquity. We came into this world in speaking lies. Father, our only hope is this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we never, never be ashamed of it, O God. Whether people close their eyes or they don't close their eyes, if I have a need, may I be honest enough, may I be sincere enough to raise my hands and say, God, here is my request. Lord Jesus, the effort of your servants to study, to pray, to preach, to live a life of what you are preaching as an example before the flock, may this effort never go out in vain. In the name of Jesus Christ, these hands that are raised up, if they are sick, you are the Lord our God that healed all our diseases. If they need more of you, Lord, may you give them more of yourself. If they don't have you at all, Father, may you call me to them, O God. Whatsoever is their needs, Lord, minister to them, Lord, from bench to bench, from person to person, in the name of Jesus. While you are blessing your people, do not pass any of us by. Bless all your servants that you have used today, especially in our midst. Our precious brother that took the teaching, the one that preached in the morning, the one that took afternoon stroke, evening, abundantly. Bless them and replenish them, Lord, for the virtue that has led them. Thank you, our Master. The week has begun in earnest. We pray for students, we pray for workers, we pray for businessmen and women, we pray for travelers, we pray for housewives, we pray for those who will be at home. Whatsoever you are giving unto us as a means of livelihood, may your blessing be upon it in the name of Jesus Christ. Each step we take this week may be ordered from on high, O God. In whichever way the enemy might want to rear up his ugly head, Father, expose him unto us and raise a standard against him. Thank you, our Father. If it be pleasing unto you, we'll still be here by Wednesday. Gather us again in our numbers, it's our prayers. As we dismiss, we are not leaving your presence. May you go with each and every one of us. Those going with private vehicle, those going with public transport, those who are trekking home because their homes is not far from here, go with every one of us, Lord. Remind us of the things that we have talked about today. Grant it, our Master. May the evil bird not come to take those things that have been so in our hearts away from our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Savior. Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' most holy name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, church. Thank you for coming to service. May the Lord order our steps from on high and keep us at the center of His perfect will. Until we meet in this place again, we will take the name of Jesus with us. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, oh precious name.
Christopher, yeah. God bless you. Say, brother, we all know. No, in the morning before we started preaching, it's part of our custom. What the prophet taught us. We introduce the visitors in our midst. God bless you, brother Christopher. And when you'll be going back, carry our greetings to your family at the church, at the pastor in particular. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Oh, perfect.
Oh, precious name. Oh, wow.